This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
One Andrew Wiggins as well. Balling out yesterday in a do-or-die game for your Miami Heat, baby.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply. Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Balling out, what do you go, 9 for 20, 8 for 20 from the field?
Hey, are you buying stock?
I'm buying stock in Andrew Wiggins.
You'll I don't know if you're
20 points, 9 boards, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks? He was all over the place. Two-way wigs.
The biggest number, that there's two of them, 9 rebounds and 20 field goal attempts.
Pretty quick.
20? Okay, hold on. I'm going to look through the Wiggins game log real quick.
He's finally taking shots.
When was the last time that he took 20 shots in a game?
Probably the last time. I don't know.
21 against the Hornets on the 23rd of March.
Oh, that's the Hornets. That doesn't really count, does it?
Okay, let's keep going.
That's Mark Grandy in for Joe Shasky, and I am Joe Spadoni. We're halfway home here on a thirsty Thursday here in the Bay. I just smashed an Americano, and I also just smashed some nacho cheese Doritos. By the way, we're not coming to you live from the Dorito studios. It's the Laughing Monk studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. But Doritos, I can be bought. So if you just want to come bring us a whole box of these, I smash them every single morning. Big Dorito guy. Big Dorito Loco Taco guy.
You and Lemon both. Lemon's also a Dorito guy.
I've noticed. They don't have spicy nacho here in the vending machine. If they did, it would be elite. We're just going with OG Cool Ranch and nacho cheese, but spicy nacho, the GOAT. Also, you know what is the GOAT? YouTube, because we are streaming on there. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer. We are streaming all day long, all week long, leading up to the series between the Warriors and Rockets. That's what we've been talking about. We've been talking about that best 5 combo for the Golden State Warriors. So the best combination, not the best 5 players per se, but the best combination of 5 players for the Golden State Warriors is what? We're getting a lot of Jonathan Kuminga in there for some people. We've gotten some Quentin Post. We've gotten some, no Gary Paytons, no Buddy Hield's in there quite yet. I know Buddy is a very interesting player. I'll just say that. He's going to get the last laugh is all I'm going to say. Buddy's going to make some shots, and you guys are all going to be in your words. I am a Buddy Hield believer. You know what else?
I hope you're right.
I'm a believer.
I'm not rooting against you.
I know you're not. And I'm rooting for Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line, because that is open as well. Same number to call or text, 888-957-9570. Dave Fleming coming up in 24 minutes. We will get into some Giants talk as they went 11-4 over in Philly yesterday. They wrap up that 4-game series today in Philly, and the Giants are 13-5. Don't look now, folks. 13-5 and 9-3 on the road. They're fun, man. What can I say? They're a fun team.
They are fun.
That's all you got. They're all fun. Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
we got Flem coming up in 25 minutes.
All right. You just seem a little. The Giants are your team. I mean,
it was a hell of a game yesterday.
All right, Robbie Ray,
struggled in the first inning.
I don't know if I'm in on the thick Robbie Ray
that's
beard.
Putting it lightly.
I don't know if I'm in on the thick beard for Robbie Ray yet. Maybe he needs to shave it, go back to clean cut Robbie Ray beard, or a little thinner.
What about the very thin and tight pants?
Yeah, I'm in on the tight pants. That's his look. That's
what about
his thing.
The grunt?
I'm in on the grunt, Sharapova-esque.
You can tell if he's throwing a fastball or an off-speed pitch based on the grunt.
I don't think it matters. I don't know.
So this is something that Steven Rizzotto and I have talked about a lot.
I opened up a can of
worms. By the time you hear the grunt, the fastball is already like halfway to
that's
the plate.
What I'm saying,
so like if you're listening for the grunt, like you're already too late by the time you hear
that's
it.
That's fair.
You just look at the ball. That's what they teach you, the T-ball all the way up to the major leagues. Just keep your eye.
Robbie, grunt away. You'll be okay. You're not tipping anything.
You know who was keeping their eye on the ball yesterday? I'll tell you this. It was one Klay Thompson for your Dallas Mavericks. Oh, and you know what?
Your Dallas Mavericks. Who the hell are you talking to?
Hey, I think everyone is rooting for the Mavericks when it comes to this game against the Sacramento Kings yesterday, because there are no Kings fans here in San Francisco.
I kind of feel bad for the Kings. They have it so rough. For Kings fans.
Okay, not the Kings
themselves.
They
have it rough.
They shoot themselves in the foot constantly when it came to Mike Brown.
What a mess of a franchise.
De'Aaron Fox. I mean, Just 2 years. No, seriously, though.
2 years ago, they were the 3 seed.
And they were taking on the Warriors, and that was an incredible series. Now, and we thought stock rising and stock falling. Stock rising for Sacramento a couple years ago, and maybe for the Warriors, you're looking at coming off a championship loss like, oh, I don't know, the Jordan Poole saga. You bring in Chris Paul. It's like, man, these franchises are going two different directions. And since then, it's completely opposite 2 years later. And Klay Thompson, in his final Warriors game, obviously 0-for-10 in that building, well, he was overcome with emotions yesterday as Klay gets it done with the Dallas Mavericks. Klay Thompson dropping 23 points, a very efficient 23 points. And here he is talking about the emotions.
It's a lot of emotion, so I thought I did a good job tonight of not forcing it. You know, human nature, when you have a season on a sour note like that, you want to come out here and prove people wrong, but I thought I did a good job to start the game, trying to dish, rebound, play defense, and the shots came to me after that.
So good for Klay Thompson. You know what? I a couple minutes there for him because he did. That was a tough way to watch his Warriors career go out last year. Like, that was brutal to watch. We were all feeling
really
it.
Really rough.
Coming off the season prior to when he might have had the worst series I've ever seen him have against the Lakers. I mean, it was awful. It was bad offensively, defensively. He just wasn't engaged. It was bad. And it was kind of a homecoming for him, if you will, too, growing up a Lakers fan. And it was tough to watch. And then ultimately how that season transpired, coming off the bench, all of the question marks regarding his future. And ultimately that was his final game in a Golden State Warriors uniform. So exercising some demons, if you will, albeit in a Dallas Mavericks uniform, as Dallas will now go to Memphis on Friday. And the winner of that game, Mark, playing the Oklahoma City Thunder. They got a date on Sunday in OKC. And I don't care who's playing it, whether it's Grizzlies or Dallas, they're going to get absolutely destroyed in game one.
OKC in five at the most would be my guess for, doesn't matter who the opponent is.
I wonder who they would want between
probably
the Mavericks
Memphis.
And the Grizzlies.
Probably Memphis.
Well, they've owned Memphis all season long. They've beat them by like 20 points. Like,
I think the answer to all of these questions, if Memphis is involved, is Memphis.
Okay. Every single time.
I think so.
Because of Anthony Davis, he's a championship type of player. If he is on, he is a difference maker with size and
their bigs are back. Like they can be a really good defensive team. Yeah. So not that I think OKC is afraid of either of them, but no. I think they'd prefer to play Memphis.
And thankfully, the Warriors are not playing Oklahoma City by virtue of that win on Tuesday. They got the Houston Rockets instead and the rest.
And if they ever play OKC in the playoffs, it will be in the Western Finals. It's the first time you're going to have to play them.
I know we haven't done our picks yet for anything, and the matchups aren't set. If he stays healthy, again, it's the big if. I like the Clippers coming out of that bracket. I might like them coming out. Like, if they, again, it's a big if with Kawhi. And I did kind of tongue-in-cheek, but also not tongue-in-cheek, say there might be moments in the playoffs where the Clippers load-manage Kawhi Leonard in a playoff game where they might just punt. Like, let's say they win in Denver.
They win game one. You don't need to push super hard for game two. But
I'm just saying. People laughed at me and said there's no chance that happens. I'm just saying there's no load managing, thankfully, with the Golden State Warriors in this scenario. Because had they lost and then had they won on Friday, you might be thinking about, all right, well, if we're getting blown out in the first half, maybe we just bench Jimmy, Steph, and Draymond and just maybe give JK the mop-up duty at game one in Oklahoma City. Thankfully, you don't have to do that. And now they do have some time to rest. And I think that's ultimately, Mark, going to be the tail of the tape here for this series and for the rest of the playoffs is the wear and tear and the grinded out nature of these series and the effect it's going to have on Steph, Jimmy, and Draymond, because those are your best three players and they're ultimately going to decide whether this is a championship team or not. Yes, it's about the others at times. Yes, that's why we're talking about Jonathan Kuminga and if he can help those old guys out at certain points and give them some spurts, right? Yes, we want Pods to be playing well. Moody, GP2, all of them. But ultimately, it's going to come down to the big three and the trust level that they could stay healthy going forward, because this is going to be the biggest gauntlet. Starts right now, and it starts on Sunday against the Houston Rockets. And I think for me, and you can speak on this, that game a couple Sundays ago kind of changed how I viewed that team a little bit. I know Steph's not going to score 3 points against them. That was kind of an aberration, if you will. They were coming off those three amazing wins against the Grizzlies, Rockets. The Grizzlies, Lakers, and Nuggets heading into that Rockets game. But that changed how I felt about them. Just that one game alone, I was like, oh man, maybe this, you know, Ime Udoka was talking that talk. Like, the entire team was buying into that whole goon philosophy. And it could be a tougher series than I initially expected had they played them, in that game didn't happen a couple weeks ago.
Warriors slight underdogs in game one. Currently Memphis, or pardon me, Houston's favored by 1 point.
What is that? What is that on?
Like what? Book?
Yeah.
This is FanDuel.
FanDuel, because DraftKings had him as a 1 point favorite. So again,
maybe it's moved, but it's very close.
Very close. 1 point here or there.
So the series as a whole is Warriors as a favorite minus 166, which means you have to risk $166. You have to bet $166 to win 100. So the Warriors are the favorite to win the series. And the Warriors have, not super often, but decent amount of times, lose game one and still win the series. In fact, the last two series that they've won, 2 years ago, first round versus the Kings, and then 2022 NBA Finals versus the Celtics, they lost game one in both those, and they came back and won the series. Mm-hmm. So losing game one is not a death blow. And it's what we were talking about early. Steve Kerr is a great in-series tactician. A game one loss is not necessarily all a loss, because the Warriors can use a lot in that game to kind of learn about how to beat a team in a series. But I think my biggest concern, Spadoni, about this Rockets series isn't that I'm scared how the Warriors are going to match up. Isn't that, you know, I think Amen Thompson and Jalen Green and Dylan Brooks and Tari Eason are going to be able to limit Steph to 1-for-10 from the field. It's not going to happen. Steph is too good. The Warriors are going to be working night and day to get him looks, and they will find a way to do it. And now they have, you know, another ace in Jimmy Butler who can play off of that. They will be prepared. So my concern isn't necessarily like Houston limiting Steph. It's more so just how hard the Warriors are going to have to work to win that series. And if it goes seven, which it very well could, if it goes seven and the Warriors come out on top, I'm a little worried about, as you were talking about, energy and the ability to feel fresh and be ready for another series. Because as you get further along in the Western Conference playoffs, you generally are playing, resting one day, playing again the next day. It's not like the beginning of this series where you play Sunday, 2 days off, play Wednesday, 2 days off, play Saturday. Like, that's not what it's going to be when you get to the Western semis and to the Western finals. And of course, in the NBA finals as well. The NBA likes to space these out early so they can get a team like the Warriors to weekend games in their first three, Sunday and then the following Saturday. So I'm a little worried about that.
Similar to, not to cut you off.
Yeah, go ahead.
But similar to a couple of years ago when they played the Kings and that pound of flesh in game seven, obviously it was a great game seven for Steph. They lost game one of that Lakers series, and that's the only one the Lakers needed to win there because they stole home court and they never gave it back.
Yeah.
And then obviously the Lonnie Walker game built into that, and the rest is history.
Lonnie Walker.
I know, but again, it goes to your point. Like,
that was game four, right? To go up 3-1?
Correct. And that was basically the series at that point.
Warriors won game five back at home, but then couldn't get game six.
Correct.
Series over.
Yeah. And that was Jordan Poole's last game in a Golden State Warriors uniform. And then bring on Chris Paul and DiVincenzo's too. Dante DiVincenzo. There you go.
That Lonnie Walker game is one of the most difficult losses for the Warriors in the postseason in this whole era, in this whole run.
That series, at least for me, when I look back on it, because that's the last time they've been in a postseason series. Like, I get it was, by the way, Steve Kerr's first and only Western Conference Series loss. So again, keep that in the back of your mind. Steve Kerr has only lost a Western Conference Series one time in his history as Golden State Warriors head coach. So just keep that in perspective.
You think he's going to retire with only one Western Conference Series loss?
That'd be huge. That means
they're going to go to the finals this year?
At least gets to the finals, right? That'd be pretty incredible. but that's baked into the equation. I did think the Lakers were a better team in that series, just top to bottom. Like, heading into these playoffs, where do the Warriors stack up in the Western Conference? 888-957-9570. I know we don't have the eighth seed locked and loaded yet. It's either going to be the Grizzlies or the Mavericks, but I think everyone would rank that team probably last in regards, regardless to any of the other teams above them.
Yeah.
How are you ranking these teams, Mark? I'll just ask you straight up. Like, you look at the Thunder, you look at the Rockets, the Lakers, you got the Nuggets, Clippers, and then, you know, you got the Warriors right there, right? Like, it's interesting because it goes to the tandems for me.
Yeah.
It goes to the tandems and you go to those guys. But again, it's not a two-person sport. So it's the others around them that it's baked into it. But we always do this when it comes to the superstars, right?
Like, well, playoffs are about the superstars.
It is.
There's no doubt.
It is, but also it could be a team, right? Like, I'm looking at the Indiana Pacers. Like, I don't think they have the superstar of a Giannis. Tyrese Halliburton's a very good player.
Pascal Siak.
Again.
Miles Stern.
And I get, like Damian Lillard.
Andrew Nembhard.
But I'm not taking the Bucks in that series solely off Giannis, right?
Giannis has been amazing of late.
But he can't do it all himself,
right? He has been of late.
I don't know.
They've actually been better offensively without Dame because their only option is just give the ball to Giannis every possession, and he's been answering the call.
The Pacers were in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. I think we're all kind of sleeping on them a little bit. That's the Eastern Conference. That's another thing. That's
Eastern Conference.
I know. Jeez. I know. It's a joke. Someone tweeted yesterday or 2 days ago. Is like, I'm starting to think maybe players from the Eastern Conference shouldn't even be eligible for the MVP because it's that ridiculous. Some of the teams, like the Atlanta Hawks, just
okay. We're talking about duos, right?
Right.
Best duos in the playoffs. How far down the list do you have to get before you get to an Eastern Conference duo?
I respect.
You like Tatum and Brown.
They won the title last year. I think
because they have the best starting five and the best bench in the NBA.
Is Jason Tatum a top 10 player in the league? Like, yes, right?
Jaylen Brown is not.
Ooh, I think playoff Jaylen Brown is. We doing playoff Jimmy? Playoff Jaylen Brown's absolutely a thing. He was finals MVP last year.
Yeah, sure.
He's incredible. And he should have been on the Olympic team, by the way. What a joke that was. I know Steve Kerr's not in charge of that. No, I care. I want the best. I represent the red, white, and blue, baby. We got World Cup next year, Mark.
Congrats, Jaylen Brown. You're on the team. You're going to get a DNP just like Jason Tatum.
No,
take that.
No, actually, I think, would have been funny because I think Jaylen Brown would have actually gotten more minutes than
maybe
Jason Tatum.
But okay.
But I am putting that tandem in. I'm putting that tandem in my top five. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, absolutely. I'm putting Jimmy Buckets and Steph in my top five there in tandems. I'm putting LeBron and Luka. So what is that at three? I'm putting Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic, and this is in no order right now. And then I'm probably putting Kawhi and James Harden, but there is an asterisk there. I'm not putting Shea and player two because I don't know who the second best player is on the Oklahoma City Thunder. I'm not putting
Jalen Green and Alperen Şengün.
No, or Donovan Mitchell and Evan Mobley. I don't know.
Darius Garland.
I'm not putting those two.
Jared Allen.
Exactly. I'm not doing that.
So Isaac Okoro.
Those are my top five right there.
I think you have the correct top five.
Okay. In any order.
I think I'm probably putting Tatum and Brown as fifth.
Okay.
Behind those four Western Conference duos, Steph and Jimmy, again, in some order, I'm going to need help from Dub Nation.
You say that. Those are the youngest two, by the way, of the combinations, I'm pretty sure. Right? Like, maybe Murray and Jokic, maybe, but it would be the same. But that's funny. You're putting all the old guys in front of them.
I mean,
wear and tear, though.
Oh, geez.
They're old.
Steph and Jimmy, LeBron and Luka, Kawhi and James Harden. And then Jokic and Murray. I think those are the top four duos.
On the first name basis, Kawhi and James. I was like, excuse me?
Well, you call him Kawhi because it's Kawhi, and then you want to call the other guy by the first name, but James is not identifiable.
Well, Kawhi Leonard, two first names. It's already a red flag. Yeah, I don't need to go on that diatribe, but I don't trust anyone.
LeBron James, two first names.
Again, you don't trust guys like that. Why do you think he's not Michael Jordan? Oh, no, Michael Jordan's another one.
Two first names.
Yeah. How do you stack up the Western Conference, though? We got a couple minutes. We got Dave Fleming in nine. We'll get into some Giants here. But if you're to rank the West right now from best to worst of contenders that you could actually win the championship in the West, who do you got?
I got OKC as the clear number one in my mind.
Wow.
And then I have a group of three that I'm having a really hard time differentiating.
Real quick, I think that's kind of a hot take. I know they're the number one overall seed. I think there's a lot of people, especially in the media, that don't believe that they're going to do it.
They're so good.
In the regular season, they are so good. They need to show me.
They're so good. They're going to show you.
Really? Would you bet on $100 if you had to bet on any one team in the West to come out of the West, you'd bet Oklahoma City Thunder?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Well, you'd lose your money. Continue. I'm not. They're not winning the West.
I think a potential.
You
got
to lock that in?
Yeah, let's lock that in right now. The Oklahoma City Thunder are not winning the Western Conference.
Well, if you're telling me, am I taking OKC or the field? That's a different question than just if I'm picking one team, which team is it?
Well, yeah, I just asked you.
I'll take the field over OKC, if I have to pick a single team, I'm picking OKC. Those are two entirely different things.
No, they are. I just gave you one option and said
if you had to pick one team, and who would it be? I said OKC. That's entirely different than OKC or the field.
I don't think that's how I phrase it.
You are boxing me, and I'm not letting you do that to me.
No, that's fake news. Continue.
I would not be shocked if the Clippers give them real, real, real trouble in the second round.
Okay. What about the Nuggets?
I don't believe in the Nuggets. They're done.
Why?
They just fired their head coach. They got issues.
The Cavs fired their head coach during the season, and they won a championship. Ty Lue. Did it against the Warriors.
David
I watched
Blatt.
It.
Get out of here,
exactly.
David Blatt.
Kick rocks.
That didn't happen two games before the end of the regular season.
Maybe it's the spark they needed.
Let's be real. LeBron was the head coach of that team.
Stop.
Nuggets
stop.
Have issues. I don't.
Just like he's the head coach of your team.
I don't believe in the Nuggets at all. They're done. They're done. They might win a game two in this series against the Clippers. That's the most, in my opinion.
I can't even believe you said that.
Thanks, John. I think it's
is that
okay.
John Heyman?
That is John Heyman. I think it's OKC in a group by themselves, and then you've got these three teams in some order.
So you think they're a tier above?
Yes.
Wow.
Then you've got the Warriors, the Clippers, and the Lakers in some order.
Okay.
Honestly, I think I might have the Clippers as the second most likely.
They're the hottest of the three.
But
yeah.
They have to go through OKC. So those teams have to play each other. Not both of them can make the Western Finals.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm trying to order that group. With that in mind, maybe I bump the Clippers down because both those teams can't make it. So maybe I go, honestly, OKC, Warriors, Clippers, Lakers.
I'm not mad at that.
That's my top four.
I would still put the Thunder in there, but I'm probably putting them fourth because I need to see them do it. I've seen those other three teams, or I should say players on said teams, do the whole damn thing. That's Steph, Jimmy, LeBron, and Kawhi Leonard. And James Harden obviously is a sixth man with Oklahoma City Thunder, but not as one of the focal points. But Kawhi is the best player on that team. So I'm going to put them. No, the Nuggets. Jamal Murray's health is very questionable for me. See, I'm not ultimately going to dismiss them because
they have no depth. I just don't trust anyone outside of
fine.
Like their three best players.
I hear you. There's no like Bruce Brown on there anymore. Like they don't have that collection of talent that they did a couple years ago when they went on that deep run, right? I get Shea's going to win it. He could easily win the MVP again this year. He's that freaking good. So I have that much respect for him as a champion. And Jamal, I'm not going to scoff that he is a champion. I know we kind of like he gets lost in the shuffle because Jokic is that freaking good. Jamal Murray, when he is healthy, is an absolute stud in the playoffs, and he's going to be the X factor in that series. If he is healthy, maybe it does change things. And I do think if you're the Warriors, that's what you're rooting for. Again, we're getting ahead of ourselves here. Just take care of business against the Rockets. But if you're trying to tell me what you want to shake out if you're a Warriors fan, this is how it ultimately shakes out. Whoever plays the Thunder takes them to six games. So tries to take a pound of flesh out of them, whether that's the Mavericks or the Grizzlies. But ultimately, we think the Thunder advance. We'd love for them to get upset, but I think they're going to advance. And then it's the Clippers and Nuggets going seven, right? Going to a seven game series and whoever comes out of that, right? And then they take the Thunder to the brink. And then it's one of those two teams, either if it's the Thunder, the Clippers, or the Nuggets. Okay, I'll take my chances against either of those teams. And then how it shakes out for the Warriors is you handle your business in six, preferably five, but six. If it goes seven, it goes seven. And then you hope that the Timberwolves and Lakers take a pound of flesh at each other. That goes six or seven. Take care of business against one of those teams, and then you're facing off against, you know, the Thunder ultimately, if they have a pound of flesh taken out of them. And I think you like your chances against the Thunder. If, you know, those other teams, like I said, take a pound of flesh out of them. That's how it shakes out for me, ultimately, because I don't want to face the Clippers and I don't want to face the Nuggets. If anything, it sounds insane. I'd rather face the Thunder in the conference finals. But
then the Nuggets?
There. Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
You call me my OKC take hot. That is hot.
The Nuggets have
You'd rather face the Nuggets than OKC.
Yes.
If you're the Warriors.
Yes.
Wow.
No. I'd rather face Oklahoma City, I said, right? No, I'd rather face Oklahoma City.
Sorry, yeah,
than
sorry.
The Nuggets.
I said it wrong.
Yeah.
But yeah, wow.
Yes, okay. I would. No, because
we can get into it later.
I respect the hell out of Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray. I also respect the hell out of David B. Fleming. He's coming up next. Voice of the San Francisco Giants, because what the Giants are doing right now is fun. They're 13-5. I want to pick Dave's thoughts on that. Plus, he was at the Masters at Augusta. Shout out Rory McIlroy, completing the career slam there, winning all four majors, what that means. And also, let's get Dave's thoughts on the Warriors matchup against the Houston Rockets. That's all coming up next. It's Spadoni. It's Granny and Fraschaski. It's brought to you by Frontier Ford.
5-for-11 with runners in scoring position. Yastrzemski out to left center field. Put another one in that column. Flores will score. Fitzgerald right on his heels. He had to make sure he didn't catch him. And he scores. The Boo Birds are out in Philly. Yastrzemski knocks in two. 11-4.
The Morning Roast with Joe Spadoni.
Listen to that guy driving the bus, man. Damn, Spadoni. Damn, you sound good.
And Joe Shasky from 6 to 10 on 95.7 The Game.
Mark Grandy in for Joe Shasky alongside myself, Joe Spadoni. We'll have Dave Fleming coming up here shortly, Giants broadcaster. You heard him on The Voice right there, courtesy of NBC Sports Bay Area. And Dave's going to be joining us. And it's going to be brought to you by Rafael Lumber and Building Supplies, serving contractors, homeowners, and the community in Marin for over 50 years. You got to visit their showroom today, and he's going to be joining us on the River Islands guest line. As all guests on 95.7 The Game up here on the River Islands guest line, isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Dave, good morning. It's been a hell of a week for you. We got Rory winning the Masters. We got the Giants en fuego right now. Big win yesterday, going for the series win in Philly. And the Golden State Warriors are finally a playoff team, Dave. Good morning.
Great week. Good morning. This is why, you know, this time of year can be so much fun, but it's a lot more fun when opening day turns into a 13-5 start, when the Masters turns into an all-time classic, when the NBA playoffs include the team you root for and watch every night. So, I mean, I always love this time of year, but it's a little sweeter this year, I would say.
You had a great start for the Giants, 13-5, as Spadoni mentioned, going for the series win in Philadelphia today. Jordan Hicks on the bump. How surprising has this offensive start been for you, considering the Giants haven't been getting a ton yet from Willy Adames and Matt Chapman, yet putting up 11 runs yesterday, 10 in game one versus Philadelphia, putting up big runs often? How surprising has this been to you, considering those two guys that you expect to lead the offensive attack haven't really gotten going yet?
Yeah, well, it's not just those two either. I mean, Lamont Wade Jr. is probably in the worst stretch that we've ever seen him in. Patrick Bailey hasn't really contributed, you know, so it's not only those two, but your main point is a good one, in that things haven't clicked on all fronts, and yet they are one of the top five scoring team in baseball right now, top run differential team, one of the top run differential teams in baseball. I'm a little surprised. I mean, I still think the formula for this team, the way the roster is built, is a pitching defense first roster. And even though the pitching has been solid to this point, I would say that the offense has carried the load for a lot of these first few weeks. So to me, that's a little surprising. I'm not sure that's what the Giants are expecting for the full season. You know, I still think they want to build this thing around the other stuff that we have talked about a lot leading into the year. But that's a good surprise, because they've scored in a lot of different ways. I mean, one of the fun parts to me about this series is, you know, they had the home run barrage on Monday, scored 10 runs, and almost all of them with the home run ball. And the last two games, they haven't scored by way of the home run at all. On windy nights, last night was not a good night to hit. Just was a tough night for everybody. And they get 13 hits and 11 runs, season high in runs, on a night where you probably weren't going to hit many long balls. They found ways to get offense across anyway.
Talking with Dave Fleming, Giants broadcaster here on The Morning Roast. It is Mark Grandy in for Joe Shasky, Joe Spadoni right here. And Dave, just talking about, you mentioned it a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, the NL West, man, is just absolutely stacked. We might actually be watching one of the greatest divisions we've seen in quite some time. You got the Pods at 15-4, the Giants at second at 13-5. They'd be in first place any other division, but they're in the NL West, and they got the Dodgers right on their heels, 14-6, and the D-backs at 11-7. God bless the Colorado Rockies. Yikes. 3-15 there. So it is not all quiet on the Western front, but I am a little concerned right now. I mean, listen, it's early in the season. Justin Verlander, he's a grizzled vet. He's not a young guy. He's not 25 years old, right? We went through this with Blake Snell last year. Some of the veteran guys, maybe it takes a little time, but are you concerned at all with some of these early struggles in the season for one Justin Verlander, giving up 8 hits just the other day against the Phillies, 4 runs prior to that against the Reds, 5 2/3, 5 hits, 6 runs, 5 of those earned. Any concern with Verlander this early on, Dave?
No, I don't think I'm concerned about it. He looks healthy. He's throwing hard. He has made a lot of mistakes in the middle of the plate, and that has to stop, because, you know, that's, you know, big league hitters, as hard as it is to hit right now with the high velocity, high movement era that we're in, big league hitters still crush mistakes out over the plate. And Verlander's just had a few too many of those. I think the main thing is his body looks good. He looks healthy. But yeah, I mean, overall, I would say that the starting rotation has underperformed to this point. And that's, you know, I guess you could really look that at that as a serious positive. They're 13-5, you know, where their starters just, you know, other than Webb and even Logan has been, I think, a little unhappy with the way his stuff has been over the start of the year. But Hicks has been inconsistent. Robbie Ray has been inconsistent. Landon Roop has showed really spectacular stuff, but hasn't gone deep into games consistently. And Verlander that you're talking about. So that, you know, long term, we got 5.5 months still to go almost. That will have to get ironed out. They're going to need more from that group, more efficiency, more innings especially. But I'm not really overly concerned about it. I think in a way it's a positive that they're playing as well as they are without those guys being at their best.
Dave, obviously those five starters are all still healthy, Webb, Ray, Verlander, Hicks, and Roop. But Hayden Birdsong, who made the team but has been in the bullpen all year so far, has been pitching amazing. So I know there's not necessarily an imminent move that's happening because all those five starters are still healthy, but how long can the Giants keep Hayden Birdsong in the bullpen? Because he's been pitching amazing to begin this year.
Plenty long. I mean, as long as things are the way they are right now and everybody else is healthy, they're not, I just don't see them changing what they have set up right now. That is always subject to change. I mean, you know, performance dictates this. And if Verlander really does struggle, if Robbie Ray really just can't throw strikes consistently at all, then they will be forced to consider a move. But right now, because he's been a really good fit down there, he's helped them win games, and they're doing fine overall as a team, I think they're more than content to. I don't think they view this isn't like stunting his growth or limiting him. I don't believe they feel that way at all. I think this is for them. He's still developing in the big leagues. He's still learning how to get big league hitters out in shorter bursts, but still, you know, getting a better education here than he could say if he were in the minor leagues as a starter. They still view him as a starting pitcher, but for now, he's done a very nice job in the role that he's in.
Talking with Dave Fleming here on the River Islands Guest Line Morning Roast, Giants broadcaster on 95.7 The Game, Giants insider as well. And Dave, you know, we've been talking so long, I don't know, like years and years about the next face of the future face of the San Francisco Giants. It's early. I'm not saying he's going to be that guy, but man, Jung-Hoo Lee, he sure checks a lot of those boxes of box office. Fun, exciting. The fans gravitate towards him. He does something every single game, it feels like. He had another two hits, two runs, two ribbies yesterday. I mean, are you shocked by this early on the season, the production from one Jung-Hoo Lee? And I don't know, could we be talking about the face of the Giants going forward here if the season ends and he continues to play like this?
Yeah, not shocked at all. This guy is super talented. Very, very talented guy. Is he going to have a 1,000 slugging average at the end of the year? He is not. That, you know, he's not going to outslug Aaron Judge for the year. But this guy is a really good player who has more to learn and has more untapped talent in there. I mean, this guy's good. So I am not shocked. He's got some skills that very few hitters have. And again, like right now he's hot and he's taking advantage of being hot. He punishes mistakes. One thing I love about Jung-Hoo Lee is he is ready to hit at all times. First pitch, 10th pitch of the at-bat. He is in an attack sort of mindset. And if you make a mistake to him, he's going to barrel it up. And that to me is, you know, if you look across great hitters, what do great hitters do? That is a common theme. Don't miss the ones that you do get. And he's doing everything else well, too. He's running the bases. You know, he leads the major leagues in doubles. A lot of that is not because he's just crushing balls into the gap, but because, you know, he hits it down the line or hits it toward the gap. And it doesn't have to go all the way to the wall for Jung-Hoo Lee to get a double. Can he be the face of the franchise? Yeah, I think so. He's obviously a charismatic dude, super fun to watch. Fans have already taken to him. The cool thing about what's happening right now for this team, one of the many cool things, is you look around the team, and I don't want to leave anybody out, and I'm not trying to, but even if you just limit it to a few, you got Chapman, you got Adames, you got Logan Webb, you got Jung-Hoo Lee, you got guys who like feel like they are anchors for this team now and into the future. And that hasn't really been the case for a while, you know, since Posey retired, really. That to me is a great long-term sign of where this thing is headed.
Dave, this Giants team yesterday jumped on Nola early, so they didn't have to come from behind to win that game yesterday, but they have made a habit of falling behind. When they have fallen behind, they've made a habit of coming back and winning baseball games despite getting down, not just a run or two, but getting down big sometimes. What is it about this team that allows them to come back from those deficits? Is it something that comes from Buster Posey top down? Is it Bob Melvin? Is it the belief that these players have? Where does that come from? Because that seems new to this team specifically.
Yeah, I mean, I'm giving Buster a lot of credit for a lot of things. I think he would laugh at me if I gave him credit for that. I mean, I think, you know, Buster's trying to set the tone for things, and maybe part of this is, the roster continuity. The Giants have not made a single roster move this year. Here we are 3 weeks into the season, and the Giants have not changed the opening day roster. So I think Buster really truly believes that does build some chemistry, some cohesion, some belief in one another. You know, you get with your group in your locker room and that group stays the same. I think Buster really does firmly believe that fosters, an ability to do some of the stuff that they're doing. But most of the credit goes, almost all the credit goes to the players. And I would say the players and the approach. You know, I think this hitting group has done a really nice job. Part of why the Giants have come from behind in games is because they have grinded out a lot of at-bats. They have had a lot of long at-bats, and they've taken walks, and they've been willing with two strikes to go the other way. Do some of those things that winning teams do against good pitching. And so that formula works, no matter what the score, no matter who you're facing. And so it's not an all or nothing approach right now. And that is one of the most encouraging things to me about, why and how they've been able to make all these, come from behind wins happen.
Talking with Dave Fleming here on the Morning Roast, our Giants broadcaster and Giants insider here at 95.7 The Game. And they're in a stretch right now, Flem, of 17 games with no off days, and the bullpen's getting a lot of run. You think the Giants could be making a call up for another arm here pretty soon?
I mean, I don't know who's leaving. You know, who are you kicking off the roster? You can't just call somebody up, right? So you gotta. I just don't see. Unless somebody's hurt, I think this is their group. Now, you are absolutely right in that this is going to challenge everybody down there. Today is going to challenge everybody. Today is a big. Today Jordan Hicks has to be more consistent than he has been his last couple times. There's been a lot of good with Jordan so far this year, but they need him to go deeper into this game. You're not going to see Bivens. I imagine you're not going to see Hayden Birdsong. Those are kind of your two longer guys right now. Lou Trevino pitched two innings yesterday. That means he's probably almost certainly not going to pitch today. So your length options today are really limited, which means they need some length from Jordan Hicks. And that's going to, if we talk a few more times here during this stretch, we're probably both going to be saying that over the course of these next couple weeks. There are going to be some games where they're going to have to lean hard on their starters. And, that's part of it. But, as of now, the good news is they have options. There are a few guys who've really thrown the ball well down in AAA at the start of the year. So they have options if they need them. But I don't see who is losing their spot right now. I think it's more a matter of day-to-day trying to manage workloads and see who's available to pitch. And maybe the takeaway is you're not going to be able to get every perfect matchup here for the next week or so. You're going to have to rely on some pitchers, maybe not in their perfect ideal roles, and just trust that they can do the job.
Dave, we were talking earlier about some of the bigger names on offense that haven't yet really started hitting consistently. One of those guys to begin the year was Tyler Fitzgerald. He was hitting just 179, and over the last six games, that average has jumped to 314 now, and he credited a conversation with Barry Bonds. Is it just as simple? Is hitting just as simple as talking to the home run king? What has Tyler Fitzgerald done to turn his swing around of late?
Yeah, it's probably not that simple, huh?
Probably not.
To me, look, I wasn't there with those conversations. I've listened to Tyler talk about it and what Barry was kind of talking to him about. To me, Tyler's swing looks just a little shorter right now. You know, early in the season, it was a lot of big, long swings. And whether that was related to the back issue in spring training, the slow start, or whatever it was, he looks shorter, quicker to the ball right now. Tyler's got enough juice to where, you know, he doesn't have to take the yuckadoo swing every time to generate extra base power. He's got speed that can help him generate some of those extra bases. The main thing with Tyler to me is just getting that barrel to the ball in a little more quick, direct manner. I'm not a hitting coach. That's not my area of expertise, but that's what my eyes tell me is happening with Tyler. And you know, some of those little short strokes up the middle we've seen these last couple days, it's been fun to, you know, the home run was fun. The triple was super fun. I appreciate the little line drives up the middle just as much. Tyler is a weapon when he's on the bases. Tyler is like, I mean, if you go to the MLB Savant webpage and, you know, look on the StatCast leaderboards, Tyler's like in the top five in sprint speed of all players in the big leagues. When he gets out there, you got a great chance to get him all the way around and score. And so to me, that's, you know, it's super fun to have him hitting for power, and that's a part of his game, and I don't want that to go away. But he's got such a weapon with his athleticism and speed. Just that, you know, that line drive ability, get on base, to me makes him a much more valuable player.
Dave, we appreciate the time. Real quick on the way out, though, obviously you're helping doing the Masters coverage for ESPN. A lot of good stuff. Obviously CBS crushing it as well. But Rory McIlroy becomes the sixth player to complete the career Grand Slam in golf, winning the Masters. And it was really... And we all like thought it was going to be Bryson v. Rory, but it ultimately ended up being Rory versus himself in a way. Obviously, it culminates in the one game or in the whole playoff against Justin Rose. And we were all watching that on our phones while we were watching overtime with Warriors Rockets. It was just an insane day of Clippers. It was an insane day of sports here in the Bay Area. No one went outside. It was also beautiful, but no one was outside. We were all inside watching all the sports. But for you, watching Rory win it the way he did, what did that mean for him and for his legacy overall? Just the sixth male golfer ever to complete the career Grand Slam and the first since one Tiger Woods.
Yeah, I mean, that probably says as much as anything. It's just a super, super elite club. And I think, you know, it's almost like tennis where the golf course setup, tournament structure makes these events so different. So why is it such a small club? Because it takes a really diverse skill set and game to win them all. Because all of those require much different things, those majors. And Rory's got it all. He's one of the most gifted, physically talented golfers who has ever lived. You know, the thing about Sunday was I rarely, if ever, have I seen an athlete where it was more apparent the pressure on that athlete. It looked like the weight of the world was sinking him. And he found a way. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't perfect. Some of those shots were really pretty, but it definitely wasn't perfect. And he found a way to get it done. And I think all of us in the golf world, and I'm sure you guys too, are just wondering, well, now will that pressure be lifted? Now is that going to unlock a new level for this guy who's got every talent of all the elites in the history of the game? And look, it's just fun, whether it's Aaron Judge, whether it's Connor McDavid, whether it's LeBron and Curry, who it's fun to watch the all-time greats who are at a different level than even the other greats. It's fun to watch them do their thing. And maybe we're going to really get to see that with Rory now going forward. He's going to a place, the next major is at a course that he has dominated in his career. And he will be I would think a substantial favorite to win the next major. Still hard to do, but if he does that, then you're talking about a summer of huge buzz for the sport of golf. I mean, you can imagine what the U.S. Open would be like if Rory finds a way to win the PGA and he's got the first two in 1 year. The U.S. Open will be a big, big time event if Rory could somehow pull that off.
Well, I mean, it could not have set up any better on that Sunday, Dave. You had the Liv guy, obviously, the talk of YouTube, Bryson DeChambeau. Everyone loves him, right? People are upset because they didn't feel like the coverage was enough on Bryson. So thought it was the world against Bryson. And then Rory McIlroy, and he doubles the first hole. I felt like Rory in that moment, Mark and Dave. I was like, yeah, just get those out of the way early. Just get double out of the way early, right? And he doubles again. And it was truly him against himself because Bryson started fading. And then Justin Rose, who was leading after day one, started making a little bit of push. So it was all baked into the drama of that Sunday. And then obviously the drama of that Sunday culminating with the Warriors and the Clippers losing in overtime. So they had the play-in. And now, Dave, after the win on Tuesday, they do have a playoff series. We can all take a deep breath. Quick prediction, Dave. I'm putting you on the spot. Warriors, Rockets. It's going to be a grinded out kind of series, huh?
They're going to beat the Rockets. I mean, the experience level of Curry and Butler and Draymond Green. Rockets are talented. Rockets are good. Rockets are athletic. Bad break, I think, for Houston to have the Warriors fall into that seven slot. OKC would have been a whole different thing, I think, if they had to match up with them in that first round. I think the fact that they won that game the other night and avoided that matchup, I really feel strongly that the experience of the Warriors in a best of seven will prevail. After that, then, you know, I'll be less certain. But Rockets are really good. I just think this early in the playoffs, it's very hard for, I would be shocked if the Rockets aren't playing in the next round after this.
That's a confident Dave Fleming, and I like to hear it. Dave, good stuff, man. We really appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you soon. Thanks, guys.
There he is.
Dave.
That is David B. Fleming, and he's brought to you by Rafael Lumber and Building Supply, serving contractors, homeowners, and the community in Marin for over 50 years. Visit their showroom today, Mark. You got to go out there, man.
I will.
Okay. That's you in the city?
I'm in the city. Okay. Every time I drive up to my parents, which I will be doing this weekend for Easter.
Oh, that is Easter.
We're doing a Saturday because the Warriors play Sunday.
Oh, it is Easter. No, it's Warriors Rockets on Sunday. I know Jesus came back to life and all that sort of stuff.
That takes precedence.
But really,
sorry.
It's M.A. Udoka, Steve Kerr, Dylan Brooks, and Steph Curry, right?
So heading up to see family Saturday. Heading up to see family on Saturday and drive through San Rafael, Marin.
That's close.
To get to Sonoma County, where I grew up. So
all right,
maybe I'll stop by.
Nice. There you go. A little wine country action. What's the weather going to be like up there? It was drizzling this morning. It was ugly this morning. Got up at 4 in the morning.
It's
like
a
raining.
Beautiful day.
Well, it's a foggy day. You can't even know. We have blinds up in here.
I like the fog.
You don't even see it. Yeah, there you go. Now you have to open the
blinds. But it's like belief. You don't need to see it. You just need to know it's there.
I like the gray.
Passover,
Easter. So classic. Mark said, it's a beautiful day, and looked right into the blind that was down.
He doesn't even know what it looks like outside.
I've been out. I was outside to get here today.
You wear SPF 1000.
I went outside today.
You, Sam, Steven, all wear SPF 1000.
Hey, there is nothing wrong.
Hey, I get tans with SPF 1000.
There is nothing wrong with a gray day, okay? This is beautiful.
Did you hear the confidence in Dave right there?
Very confident.
He
said he'd be shocked if the Rockets were playing in the next round.
Would you be? Would you be shocked if the Rockets were playing in the next round?
I'd be mildly surprised, but I wouldn't be shocked.
No,
this is a tough series.
I think a lot of people, though, are feeling like Dave's feeling. Like, I know Vegas is. A lot of people look at the names, right? Who's the best player on the Rockets? I don't think a lot of people, if you polled America, who's the best player on the Rockets, are they going to say? Huh?
Shangoon is the most, or pardon
me,
Jalen Green has the most highlights. They'd probably say Jalen Green.
Right. But if you're going by name recognition, it's probably like Dylan Brooks or Fred VanVleet. I've heard of those names, right? It's pretty, the name factor and recognition
NBA
in this
fans
series,
would probably say Jalen Green.
But
the answer is probably Shangoon. And give it another year, the answer is going to be Amen Thompson.
There you go. He's talking about rising stars in the league.
He's amazing.
I got body envy watching that guy. He's incredible. The pride of Hayward, California, by the way.
We talk about Jonathan Kuminga being like the most amazing athlete on the Warriors, and he is by a mile. Yeah. He's the best athlete on the Warriors. Amen Thompson is like on a different level.
Well, he might be the best athlete in the NBA.
He might be.
When LeBron
and the second
James,
best might be his brother.
I say that all the
twin
time.
Brother.
When LeBron James says he has body envy over a player, LeBron, who might be the most physically gifted athlete we've ever seen, when he says that, yeah, my ears perk up. And that's the guy that's going to be guarding Steph all game long.
If you could like dream up an NBA basketball player in terms of like body and size and length and athleticism, it's Amen Thompson.
If you could dream up a sports talk radio caller, it's Brian and Palo Alto.
Oh.
That is the body, the size, the inflection, all of it, Brian. Good morning to you. It says here in the caption, he wants to talk about the greatness of one Steve Kerr. We're going to Brian and Palo Alto. Good morning, sir.
Yeah, just appreciation, right, for obviously the greatest coach in the history of the franchise, one of the greatest coaches in NBA history. And, yeah, I have a lot of confidence in him. And I think with the Rockets in a seven, I just don't see it over a seven-game series. I don't think Amen Thompson, you know, there's been a lot of people that have tried and failed. I don't think that Amen Thompson is going to be the guy that figures out how to shut Steph Curry down in a seven-game series. I just don't think it's going to happen. I think a seven-game, you know, best of seven series against the Warriors, you know, ultimately the tide ultimately goes towards the Warriors.
If you were to have one concern
really, really
in this
hard.
Series, Brian, not to cut you off, if you were to have one concern in this series, though, what would it be?
When they go super big, like I actually thought, you know, one of the different, you know, the Warriors have really beaten or should have beaten the Rockets in almost every game for 4 years. But in that last game, remember they had Steven Adams, right?
Yeah.
He had Steven Adams and Şengün on the court before. Steven Adams is a guy that's sort of given the Warriors issues over the years. Yeah. And when you go super big like that and you can't, you know, expose those bigs, which they were not able to do in that game, that really, really mucks up the middle. And it puts a lot of pressure on outside shooting. So, yeah, I'll say the key to the series is can Moody, Pods, and occasionally Draymond make some wide open threes, because every three they take will be wide open. Can they make some shots? And obviously Pods down the stretch made a lot of shots, and then the last two games, not a lot.
Yeah.
But really, they're going to be wide open, and they have to make some open shots. And if they do, the Warriors should win fairly easily. And if they don't, I think it's going to be a grind.
Brian Palo Alto here on the River Islands guest line. One more for you, Brian. Jonathan Kuminga, the DNP's man. Is he going to be a factor in this series?
I think he deserves to get a shot, right? Like, we've seen good Kuminga before. We've seen very little of it since his return, right? Almost none. Maybe that Laker game we saw it. But, like, give him a shot and say, you know, like, give him some minutes and see if you can find good Kuminga, because it would be helpful. Unfortunately, we've not seen it. And like, but like, what I do want to see is, I just want to see the complaints and the, you know, whining and moaning from all the Kuminga fans on Twitter to stop, and like judge and evaluate this guy for how he plays. And if he doesn't play well, stop making excuses for it. That's what I'd love to see. All right, have a good day.
That's Brian Palo Alto. He's gone. That was it. He didn't want any other questions.
A quick hook.
It sounded like he was about to sneeze into the phone multiple times. He had the sniffles. It is allergy season, and it is amen, not amen, but maybe we will be saying amen on Sunday because it is Easter, of course. As you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM, nice HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, and now broadcasting live from the Laughing Monk Studios. This show has flown by. We just had Dave Fleming on, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Find that entire interview if you missed any. We talked a lot of Giants, talked some Masters, talked some Warriors. He would be shocked. He would be shocked if the Rockets won this series. I don't know if I'd say that. Would you say that at 888-957-9570? By the way, same number to call or text the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorneys text line.
Something that BPA brought up is how big the Rockets can go, and he mentioned Şengün and Steven Adams on the floor together. What they did versus the Warriors for a stretch in that game, they paired those two along with Jabari Smith, who's another like 6'10", 6'11".
Yeah, he's huge.
He he's kind of in the Jaren Jackson Jr. mold where he's big, but he plays more of like an outside game.
Correct.
And that's kind of how he's developed as a player.
Listen to 6'10". Yeah.
His wingspan's probably like 7 foot or more. Like he's huge and he's long and he's lanky and he's pretty athletic.
There you go.
He's actually pretty skinny. I know.
I like that you use all the different analogies. He's got the girth. He's got the size. He's got the length.
But
don't cut that.
Then you've got like three guys, 6'10" or taller on the floor together. And the Warriors have no way to match up against one guy 6'10 or taller, let alone three. But where I think the Warriors do have an advantage is, again, you get that kind of scenario and that kind of possibility, which I guarantee you that Steve Kerr and his coaching staff have already discussed. The Warriors have ways to combat that. Like, it's what happened against the Grizzlies. Well, if they're going to play Jaren Jackson Jr. and Zach Edey on the floor together, you feel confident, and this was something Steve Kerr identified pre-game, before that game. They're going to put Zach Edey on Jimmy Butler because there's no one other than their two bigs that are big enough and strong enough to contain Jimmy Butler. They don't want to put JJJ on Jimmy Butler because Jimmy Butler is going to get JJJ into foul trouble, and JJJ is too valuable offensively to get off the floor via foul trouble. So the only thing that the Grizzlies could do was put Zach Edey on Jimmy Butler, or, which would have been better for the Grizzlies, not play Zach Edey, but they didn't do that. So they put Zach Edey on Jimmy Butler, and Jimmy Butler abused him time and time and time again. So if the Rockets go to a big lineup like that, whether it's Şengün and Adams or Şengün, Adams, and Smith, or some combo of the two of them, Jimmy Butler's going to have an advantage because one of those guys is going to have to guard Jimmy Butler. Unless they're taking a good defender like Amen Thompson off of Steph, and you'll take that
right,
because that means Steph is freed up. So the Warriors are going to have a matchup that goes their way when the Rockets go big, just like they did against the Grizzlies. And I think that's where you see something over the course of a series. And when you have playoff Jimmy, you'll see a different Jimmy in this series than you did the last time the Warriors played the Rockets.
What is the number one concern for you, Dub Nation, heading into this series against the Houston Rockets? 888-957-9570. Is it the size? Is it the athleticism? Is it just the wear and tear of the series? Is it, you know, Dylan Brooks being a dirty player at times and trying to go out one of your guys? Is it
He broke the code.
I know. Just, we need those guys in the NBA, though. Like, I don't hate Dylan Brooks because we need some of that old fashioned. I don't like, he hates everyone. He's going to try to do things to irritate. That's what makes this series fun. If there wasn't a Dylan Brooks in this series, I'd be looking at the Rockets like, I guess Ime Udoka, like, he doesn't really like scare me. Like, it was, and they were like kind of like shooting the breeze after the game, like kind of trolling each other. Steph saying, yeah, Ime Udoka, you know, he canceled reservation at a smokehouse, whatever.
International smoke.
Ayesha Curry. I don't hate that team, but Dylan Brooks, I think Warriors fans hate him.
Absolutely.
Can't stand the Rockets.
If you're to poll Warrior fans' most hated current NBA player, Dylan Brooks is probably number one.
I think if you just polled NBA fans in general, it's probably Dylan Brooks is up
there.
Well,
Draymond might be number one for NBA players in general.
That's true. No, that's
NBA fans in general.
That's a good one. 888-957-9570.
I'm tired.
I'm sad. So good.
Rest up, Day-Day. We need you on Sunday.
Do you think size is a problem still for this team? Like, we always say it's like, oh, yeah, I don't know. This is a smaller team. I don't know. They keep with the starting lineup. Like, it's only a problem with a couple players for me. We saw it on Sunday. Zubac is a problem for this team. They just don't have an answer.
It's a problem for almost everybody.
But specifically Draymond. He just, like, Draymond, like, holds his own at times, and I get it because Jokic is going to have his. But I feel like he holds his own for the most part against all the other big boys. But Anthony Davis and Zubac, he has a hard time against those two guys in particular. Outside of that, like, I'm not scared of Şengün. I'm not scared of Jackson Hayes. I'm not scared of Rudy Gobert.
What about Rui Hachimura?
No, like, none of those guys, like, gives me fits if I'm the Golden State Warriors. So this whole size problem for the Warriors, I do think it's a little overblown. Am I poo-pooing that a little bit too much for you, Mark?
I mean, okay, if you have a concern about the size, and I think there's a lot of Warrior fans who feel this way, okay, that just means, all right, play post more. Play Looney more, right? Like,
There's going to be moments with Looney. I just thought that was a bad matchup for him in general. Looney will have moments in some of these series. If it goes series, there will be a time and place for him.
Play.
I just thought the Memphis matchup was just a horrible one. We all saw it. He was a minus 11. Yeah. He was a team worst.
2022, when Wiggins was great, Looney was also amazing in that playoff run. You think of game six versus Memphis when he had like 20 rebounds or whatever
it
was.
I think that first round match against the Kings a couple of years ago against Sabonis. Oh, he was incredible.
Great. He was great there too. Sabonis is a fraud. But
he was, hey.
Hey, you want, I'm going to put this out
You're
there
channeling
real quick.
You're channeling your Draymond Green I'm overseas put, players.
This is partly because the Sacramento Kings are a dumpster fire and they're going nowhere. They're going to trade Sabonis this offseason. I'm putting that out there.
Well, they might as well. I mean, how old is the guy? He's like in his 30s. Like, they're not
they just signed him to a four-year extension. They're going to trade him, would be my guess.
Is he trying to pair him up with Luka, the Baltic States? Go over there?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Go get Jokic, no, too. No. Just get all of them. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. If I knew that's where this was going to go, I wouldn't have brought it up.
Shout out JC. Oh, my Sunday God. Is his return. Continue.
But anyway, back to the size for the Warriors. I don't think the solution, like, they're a small basketball team. And you go up against a physical big team, you're probably going to get out-rebounded. Rebounds are what lost the Warriors the game against the Clippers. They lost that game because Zubac was dominant. It didn't really bother me that much against the Grizz. Zach Edey's 7'4". He's going to get like 15 rebounds just if he sleepwalks out there because he's 7'4".
Big boy.
But for the Warriors, in those matchups, it's not as if their solution to the lack of size that they play is on the roster. Like, okay, you're small. Zubac is dominating. Post is not the answer.
No.
Looney is not the answer. The Warriors are still at their best right now when Draymond Green is their five. Like, Quinn Post is good in spurts in the right matchup. And he's been amazing considering what the expectations were for him this year. This is not a knock on Post. It's just the reality of the Warriors situation. If they had a big that was skilled and could defend down low versus other good bigs, yeah, okay, you play him. It's more of a personnel issue than like a Steve Kerr philosophy issue. The Warriors always do this song and dance every year where they try to convince themselves they're not at their best when Draymond is not at the five, right? Yeah. Draymond at the four, Looney at the five.
We just don't want the wear and tear of it, right?
Yeah,
for Draymond.
Yeah, that's
it.
Part of it.
Yeah.
But then they always get to a point, the breaking point, yeah. And this year the breaking point was early because they were so bad the first half of the year where they say, all right, time to get down to business. Draymond's the five. We're always at the best when Draymond's at the five. You're going to run into moments where that's not great considering the other matchups and the other teams that you're playing. But the Warriors, for a decade now, have always been at their best when Draymond's the five. And I don't think that's wrong this year. I think it's still the case. Now, if they go and get a big man that's good and skilled and can play alongside those guys, then yeah, it's a different story. But considering who's on the roster right now, yeah, they are mismatched against big teams, but it doesn't mean you're going to play your size no matter what. You have to play the best five, and I think Draymond is the team's best five still.
I do think this series has potential to be the most physically taxing, which sounds insane because if you get to like the third round, like you should probably be exhausted. But just given the physical nature of this team you're going up against and their youth and size, it could take the most out of this Warriors team because if,
it could.
Again, you're going up against either the Lakers or the T-Wolves coming up next, potentially, and I don't consider either of those teams, quote-unquote, physical per se, especially the Lakers with Reeves, Luka, LeBron. They're not exactly defensive stalwarts. So this series could take a potential toll out of them. That's why getting it done.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sooner rather than later would be huge, and trying to steal game one would be even bigger for them. But the number one concern for you, Dub Nation, heading into this series is what? Mike and SF, Adam in San Jose. I promise we'll get to you right on the other side. It's Spadoni, it's Grandy, and Fraschaski, and that's what's coming up with the game, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.